Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. Vince Bonfigli, your host. Monday, November the 24th. Turkey Day is just a few days away, so I'll wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Tonight we're going to talk a bit about the passing of a longtime NASCAR PR motorsports rep, Denny Darnell, who's actually on the show here October 6th. Joining me later on, in about 15 minutes or so, will be the new NHRA Pro Stock Champion, Erica Ender Stevens, for her first appearance as the champ. I would love to have had her on last week, but they did have their banquet last Monday night, so we weren't able to get her on as she was busy making the speech and getting the big check and all the good stuff that happens when you become a champion. And she's the first woman ever to win the Pro Stock Series Championship, so there's another barrier broken in women in motorsports. And as determined as she was to get there, it was a little bit of a long road to hoe, but glad to see that she's done it and been able to share her journey throughout the past couple of years from when we first had her on to this point. Kristen won't be joining us tonight. She's got things to tend to for the holidays, and wish her a good week. Was glad having her on the past few weeks as we wrapped up the chase to the championship and when NASCAR crowned its new champion, Kevin Harvick, for Stewart Haas Racing. It's his first championship and the second one for Stewart Haas. Of course, Tony Stewart won in his first year with the team when he won on tiebreakers holding off Carl Edwards after Jimmy Johnson's five in a row. So so we have a new champion in NASCAR. We have a new champion in Pro Stock. Should be pretty interesting. I got to talk about my friend who was sad to hear, but he passed away just a couple days ago. And to Denny Darnell, he was the PR director of Bristol Motor Speedway, and he was the Winston rep when NASCAR was sponsored by R.J. Reynolds for the Winston Cup. He was in the PR for the NHRA as well. His last job was with a PR rep for Dodge. And he was able to see Dodge win the Sprint Cup Championship a couple of years ago with Brad Keselowski driving for the Dodge Charger for Roger Penske. And he retired after that. Of course, he's been active in and about. I've been in touch with him back and forth over the past couple of years. We stayed friends through good old Facebook. You can't one of the good things about social media, if you lose touch with somebody physically, and you can always keep in touch with them through that. And we got conversing back and forth a little bit. And I asked him to come on the air last month, and he did. And we had a good long conversation about how racing has changed over the years, and talking about the new chase format, and just amazing the knowledge that Denny had and was always willing to share with others. Had a good sense of humor. Wasn't one of these guys in the media that that was inaccessible. He was talked to everybody. A lot of people have a lot of nice things to say about him, including myself. And was just sad to hear that he passed away this, I think it was Sunday, Saturday or Sunday. As a matter of fact, I posted an article on it on Garage Talk Live Facebook page on Saturday. That's when it happened. And it was just sad to see him go. Never heard anything to the cause of death. I'm assuming it might have been a heart attack, because that's all it takes is one of those, and they claim a life, and they come all of a sudden. So, but don't hold me to that. I don't have the exact cause of death. So he'll be sorely missed. I'll miss talking to him on a various bunch of topics that we touch on through social media, and just sad to see him go. With Kevin Harvick winning the championship, they put an exciting finish to the chase, where the last four guys battling for it had a shot to win it. Nobody was out of it until, I guess, basically the last round of pit stops. And Harvick was crowned the champion. So so he's going to have a busy offseason. Once you win the title, they whisk you away everywhere. And just one of those deals that comes with the territory. I mean, the drivers are pretty much demand as it is with all the promotions and things they have to do for their sponsors throughout the year. Then to go out and have to go out and win the championship, and then you got more things to do. Of course, the NASCAR banquet is usually held the first week in December, probably next week out in Las Vegas. We'll try to get hold of our regular Sprint Cup representative, Miss Sprint Cup Juliana White. Well, she'll be out there with her other Miss Sprint Cup sisters, Marilyn Mason and Kim Coon. So they'll be out whooping it up in Las Vegas on the strip there for the banquet. I remember when they used to run it in New York, but the weather's a lot better in Nevada in the winter, in December, than it is up in New York, especially with what we heard we're going to get weather-wise today, this week, going into Thanksgiving. Wednesday's supposed to be a brutal day weather-wise. So, but the racing season is now over. A lot of things are going to be changed, I guess. NASCAR is already changing the rules. Hopefully not the chase rules, just some competition rules. Because of, I thought the way the chase was run, where you have 16 guys and winners advance and the rest get in on points until then they eliminate four drivers after the after three races, and then four after the next three, and then four after the next three until they're down to four for the last one. And two things came into play for Joey Logano and Denny Hamlin. One was a call not to pit, which cost Denny. He had a fast enough car. And Joey Logano's car falling off the jack on the last pit stop. Gordon had chose to stay out too, and he was in the same boat Denny Hamlin was in, but Harvick came in for four tires and fuel. Once Gordon got passed, then he came in on the next caution, because there were several between the 30 to go and the end of the race. And had they all pitted at that 30 to go mark, I'm sure the outcome could have been different. But that's the way things go. It's up to the crew chief and the driver to make a decision of what to do. highlights throughout the year. Dale Jr. Made the chase, went all the way to the second round. I think that was pretty much eliminated going into the third round. He had a chance to keep alive going into Talladega, but a track that he's normally good at, it turned out to be a Brad Keselowski move to keep him into the next round. Of course, he had problems in the next race because of the last four races of the eliminator round. The no chase winners had won the race to advance, so that's what set up Harvick winning at Phoenix to move into the championship round. It just takes a little getting used to. You have the challenger, the eliminator. There's one more in the beginning one. Contender, challenger, eliminator, and championship. Those are the four rounds of competition. And as they got closer, those were left got a little antsier and made for an interesting finish to the season. Of course, in the NHRA, they had their countdown to the championship series, which is a six-race event, to where after the first batch of races, they received the drivers according to points. And, of course, you know, if you're leading at that particular point in time, you're the top seed, and there's so many points difference between the top seed and the 10th seed. What I didn't know is that when they reseeded for the countdown for the championship, that Erica, who had been the points leader all the way through, all the way into that, they reseeded her because she missed the last two events going into the countdown. So she lost a spot or two. So that was kind of strange because she still led the points going into that round, and then, but she had to make up some ground, and she did what she had to get done. Because I'm going to talk to her about her history-making season, her last history-making event out of Pomona. So she'll be joining us in a little bit for. To talk about what the feeling was like. Because now it had a chance to set in. I think when it happened, you get welled up with emotion, and then you go to the banquet, and then once all the fanfare and festivities are done, then you get a chance to enjoy it and relax and see what happens there. So it's going to be pretty interesting. I'm happy to talk with her. Like I said, I wanted her last week, but their banquet was last Monday, so there was no way that was happening. And the only person that was able to get on banquet day was in 2010 when John Force won his 15th championship and was heading into the banquet when he called. So I had to make it a quick one for the big guy. He fell a little short this year to Matt Hagen. Tony Schumacher and Top Fuel pretty much had it wrapped up in Vegas. Andrew Hines and Pro Stock Bike only needed to go one round in Pomona where he got it. Took all the way to the semifinals. But the event of the night, the one to watch, was the Pro Stock event where it was a nail biter. So more on that in a little bit with Erica. So I'm going to take a little break before she calls in. And we'll talk to her in a little bit. So don't touch that dial.
Yeehaw! Hillbilly Horror Show, the series Wicked Channel gives 9 out of 10 stars, is now on DVD. BestHorrorMovies.com says it's a lot of fun and I'm itching for more.
It sure is.
If you love horror films and want to see the lovely Lulu played by Rachel Faulkner featured in Maxim strutting around in her Daisy Dukes,
pretty as a hog wallering in the mud,
then Hillbilly Horror Show is for you. Grab your copy at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or visit us on the web at HillbillyHorrorShow.com.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cajun's Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cajun's Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cajunscandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cajun's Candle.
And welcome back to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and I'd like to welcome to the show right now the one and only first ever NHRA Pro Stock Champion female, Erica Ender Stevens. Erica, welcome back.
Thank you. How you doing?
May I call you Madam Champion?
That's funny.
It's good to have you.
What's going on?
I knew it wasn't going to get you last week because your banquet was on show night, and I was glued to the set because the way they set up watching it on ESPN from when it happens live, I didn't touch any social media. I didn't look at anything that happened, and you got it done. Your runs were fantastic. 6 490s all the way out.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. We had a very consistent race car. First, second, and third round, we ran 6:49 with a four. And then in the finals, I think it kind of got overlooked because of all the excitement of the championship, but we ran a 6:48 with a zero. Just says so much about my team and what they're capable of when the pressure's on. And it was just really cool to run all four rounds of eliminations in the 40s.
What got me was, too, is you had a 19-point lead, and you were battling Jason the whole way through. So if he won his round, then the way the ladder was set up, you didn't get to see each other till the end, so there was, and for some reason, anybody that could have knocked him off had problems.
Yeah. Well, I know that they all gave it a valiant effort, that's for sure. You know, Dave Conley, he had him second round, and Jake Coughlin in the semis, and then me in the finals. So he had a tough road to hoe, and it just was it was an awesome day. It was really cool that we ended up on opposite sides of the ladder and that it went down to the final round of the final race of the year for the championship. So it was definitely exciting, very stressful, lots of pressure, but fun nonetheless.
I swear, your semifinal round, I'm watching you stage, and then the next thing you know, the light changes. You both took off. I'm looking for reaction time. There were zeros all the way across. I'm like, oh, my God. You couldn't,
isn't that crazy?
You couldn't ask for a better launch.
No, that was the first time that's ever happened in professional drag racing. So it was, you know, definitely not a record that either Jonathan and I probably wanted. That's a little too close for comfort. But you know, we were fortunate enough to end up on the good side of that. I've been on the wrong side quite a few times, and it just it worked out the way it was supposed to.
I mean, if it wasn't for that, that even launch off the tree, if as good as your car was running, it could have, because he had what, a couple of hole shot rounds leading up to that. So.
Yeah, he did. Two hole shot victories leading up to that. So I knew I had to step up to the plate, and I knew we had him covered by 200s at least. But, I mean, if he's 000, that means I can't be worse than 20. So I had to be on my A game. He's a tough competitor.
You sure were. I'll tell you, God was with you that day, I must say. I mean, you offered every
he
round to
is.
Him. And he saw to it that you took the championship. And, of course, I think the only way Jason had a chance, but he wound up red lighting. And I think he was trying to get you off the tree and maybe try to pull a hole shot, because I don't think his car was quick enough, as good as yours was.
Yep. Yeah, we definitely had – he had the car to beat during qualifying. We never really laid down a solid pass, though, in our team's defense during qualifying. And, you know, then we had to swap motors during qualifying. So, you know, starting over on Sunday was a little nerve-wracking, but, you know, we definitely had the car to beat on Sunday, which was really exciting. And, you know, as a driver, that gives me a little bit of peace of mind knowing that I've got a race car under me that's better than anybody else's on the property, and then I just have to go out there and do my job, let the clutch out and hit my shift points as perfectly as possible. And it was just all in all a really great day.
It sure was, as far as a viewer watching it. I'm sure everybody – there must have been an electricity in the stands that day every time you pulled up to the starting line, because I could feel it, and I was all the way across the country here. And,
yeah, it was definitely electric. I mean, the fans were so awesome. It was really intense. I mean, the fan response there was incredible. We don't, as pro stock, we don't tow down the return road in front of the stands at very many races throughout the year, but at Pomona we always do. And I mean, even on Friday qualifying and whatnot, they were just hooting and hollering, and they were so supportive and so awesome, and I signed a bazillion autographs, and everybody was so encouraging, offering, you know, advice and prayers, and, you know, it was very much appreciated on my end, and so fun. I try to just, like, take it all in, you know, because I know it's all going to disappear one day, but so blessed to have the fans' support.
I mean, ever since I've been pulling for you ever since you started coming on the show, and that was about, what, 3 years ago. So it was 2 years ago, last year, and then this season it was a culmination of a championship, and it just makes me so happy to actually see history made, because it's not done very often in one's lifetime, and to be able to be old enough to understand it and experience it. I know when Shirley Muldowney won, I was just a kid. You were probably, mm-hmm. you weren't even born yet.
Right.
I got a few years on you. And so I guess every division now has a female champion, except for maybe Funny Car. I don't know. Did somebody win that
right.
yet? I have to go back and...
Shirley and Top Fuel, Angel and Motorcycle and me and Pro Stock. So we haven't had a female Funny Car champion yet, but it's coming. I mean, with girls like Alexis DeJoria and Courtney Force driving, you can bet it's on the horizon.
Yeah, it's just a matter of getting it done, and I think seeing you do it is going to make them even hungrier for next season. So
mm-hmm.
it should be a fun one to watch.
Oh, heck yeah.
Journey,
it'll be awesome.
As the journey for you progressed throughout the season, though, I noticed I didn't realize they reseeded you out of the first spot going into the countdown.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two events that you didn't compete in. And so you actually were a bit of an underdog instead of running it from the top on out. You had to claw your way through back up to the points lead and...
Yeah, we sure did. I mean, we lost the number one seed to Jason Line, which cost us 30 points. You know, had we gone in the into the countdown in the number one position, we would have had a 30-point bonus over number two. And if, you know, the points were the way they were throughout the six races of the countdown, you know, going into Pomona, all we would have had to done is qualify. So it definitely changed the dynamic of the final race of the year. It made it more exciting. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason, and God's got a plan that's bigger than mine. So it was already, the book was already written. We just had to go out there and do our job, and it made for a very exciting finale.
That sure did. And I was just wondering if there's any point in time where you go in through it all that and get all, I'm sure you had butterflies before every event, every round in the countdown, just to get back up to the top spot, let alone in the last event in the season? Or were you a lot calmer out in Pomona?
I mean, it was pretty intense, to be honest, and I, you know, made it public on ESPN, but I struggled in Reading. I was a ball of nerves in Reading for some reason, and I had never been that way in my entire career. So, you know, it just goes to show, like, how much pressure is on at the end of the year. And I decided to go to Vegas with a different mindset and just get back to having fun and doing what we do best, and that's, you know, winning races, and we just had to focus on that and not the championship and take it one round at a time. So Vegas went extremely smoothly for us. We qualified on the pole and won the race. And, you know, going into Pomona, I was nervous on Friday, and then I was nervous Sunday morning against Larry Morgan and Roger Brogdon. But going into the semis and the finals, the nerves went away. It was really weird how that worked, and I prayed about it and asked for help in that area, and he obviously offered it to me. But it just it's such an intense environment. I wish I could relay how crazy it is. I mean, it's the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you know you want it so badly for your team and for yourself, and just to go and show all the kids that maybe thought they couldn't, like I did, that it's possible. And so it was just a really awesome weekend. I was super stressed. I came home on Thursday from Pomona, and I was sick for 2 days. I think my body just, like, shut down. It was, like, mad at me for stressing it out. But that's why my voice is raspy. But it was just a crazy weekend and just full of emotions.
I could imagine. When did it finally sink in that you, mission accomplished, dream achieved? Was it as soon as it was done, or after you were home in bed for a couple of days recuperating and had a chance to absorb it all?
I don't know if it's like 100% sunk in. When I was on the world champion stage in Pomona, it was just like super surreal. Like it's something that I've dreamed of my entire life, and to actually live it is pretty interesting. I mean, I just, like, I think you could probably see it on my face on the TV show. It just, like, I'm just blown away. It's so crazy. And the championship trophy showed up in the mail today, and when my husband got home from work, he helped me unbox it, and we set it on the fireplace mantle. So it's already sitting proudly at the front of our living room. But it's such an accomplishment. It's something every driver and team member out there dreams about and works hard for. And the fact that we got it done is just by the grace of God, it's pretty awesome.
Now, is it the same size as the one they had on the stage at Pomona, or is it a smaller version of it?
No, it's the same size and the same weight. I'll tell you, that dude is heavy. I didn't realize it until I was trying to bench press it over my head. One of the NHRA officials told me, he's like, you can just put your hand on it because it's too heavy for you to lift. And at that point, I'm like, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do everything I can to show you that you're wrong. So I had to lift it at that point. And it was pretty heavy, but really cool to have those pictures now with the trophy above my head and the fireworks in the background. And just really surreal. I know I keep using that word, but it's crazy.
I could imagine. I saw you trying to pick it up. I was like, well, don't drop it, don't drop it.
Okay, I know. Almost knocked Tom Compton in the head with it. Didn't mean to do that. but it was definitely heavy.
Now, I saw they put a medallion on you when you actually finished the last pass. Now, I was wondering, is that what they're giving you, or are you going to get the big championship trophy that they showed on stage, or that you going to have a ring made for you as well?
Yep, the trophy is the same as you saw on stage, the black and gold with the mellow yellow and the shiny gold Wally on top. And then the medal that they gave me on TV, I got to keep that. It's huge and it's solid. It's kind of heavy. And then they award us our world champion rings in February in Pomona. They do like a big presentation at the racetrack at the Winter Nationals. So I won't get my ring until then, but I'm really excited about that. I think that's what it's all about, is that ring. It's pretty awesome.
And that nice fat check they hand you at the end.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my team owner got to keep that, but it was definitely neat to hold a $250,000 check. It's pretty crazy, but considering the amount of money it costs to go run our program, I mean, $250,000 is mouse nuts in the equation, but it definitely helps offset some of the cost.
That's for sure. You definitely earned it for them, and they were, you know, giving you some good equipment. Now, if anything, the sponsors say, hey, you got to sponsor the champ. I mean, she did it on no budget. Imagine what she could do if you had your name on the side of the car. I know you had Royal Purple on there. It didn't look right on a red car, if you ask me. Should have been a purple car. I know you like the black car, so.
Yeah. My team owner loves red, so unless somebody writes a really big check, I'm guessing the car is going to stay red. But, we're really hopeful to bring on some new marketing partners for next year. We definitely need help in that area, and we certainly have a lot to offer as far as, you know, a return on investment. I mean, NHRA is such a fan-friendly sport and got just a very wide dynamic for demographics. It's a really cool sport, and I absolutely love it. So I hope somebody sees the value associated with it and jumps on board with us. But if not, I mean, we're going to run the 2015 season. We're scheduled to run 15 races this year, just as we were last year. We ended up running 22 this year, so definitely ran more than we thought we were going to. And I know, you know, with a more adequate budget, the sky is definitely the limit. I mean, I've never had such a great group of guys, and we have so much natural team chemistry. We're forced to spend 24 weeks a year together, but we choose to spend our free time together. It's just a really unique environment to work in, and I absolutely love it. I'm so thankful for them, and we've had a blast this year, not just because of our on-track success, but because of the caliber of people that they are, and it's pretty incredible.
It did seem like the team was more like family than an actual team. I know everybody says, you know, they're like a family, but it looked like when, you know, your team was out, they actually showed it. I know on the last pass down at the tree, they showed your sister probably saw you struggling with that trophy. She won't work you to death in the off season.
I know. It's on. It started today with the diet. So, no, it's definitely an awesome dynamic. I mean, it sounds cliche saying, oh, yeah, my team is the best in the business and they're like family, but mine really is. And I think it's pretty evident. I mean, if you watch on TV or if you follow us in National Drag Thru on social media, it's so evident. It's not. In my 10-year career, I've never had a group like this. I honest to God, have not. And it's still refreshing to know that there are still that many good people out there with hearts the size of Texas. And they've taken me on as part of their family. And it's a really awesome environment to work in. It makes my job, you know, nothing about my job is easy, but it makes it a lot more carefree. I mean, I just get to go out there and do the best that I can. And I think it showed in my driving this year when I don't have, you know, a lot of drama going on and negativity and egos battling each other and people stabbing each other in the backs. That's a tough load to carry. So when all of that's gone, like the environment at Elite Motorsports is drama-free, it just really showed in our performance. So we're all blessed as a team to have each other, to have a group that gets along that way. So it's been very fun.
Yeah, because you definitely had a lot of number one qualifying spots and did you have about four wins this year?
We had six number one qualifiers and six wins, plus the K&N challenge, plus setting both ends of the national speed record and the ET record. So we accomplished a lot together as a team. It was definitely the most successful year in my career, and my guys, you know, the most wins I've ever had in 1 year have been 4. So we trumped that this year with 6. And, of course, our goals are high for next year, and there's a lot of good things in the works. So we're excited.
That's good to hear. And I'm just, you know, following your career as I have, and I was just glad to see that, and glad you were able to come on and share with us a couple times a year. And one of these days, I'll have to get down to Bristol to meet you in person.
Yeah, you'll definitely have to. And I've enjoyed talking with you, and I'm hopeful that we can do that some more next year, and hopefully give you some more stuff to report on. I mean, it's been a dream season, but we want to trump it next year. So the sky's the limit, and you know, with the good Lord on our side, anything's possible.
Well, we'll definitely on, and having a champion on a program is always a plus, and have one as classy as you and as nice as you've been, and as good to the sport and the struggle, it shows that winning this championship shows how much more you appreciated going through the hard work and the struggle to come up that you've done. You've broken the glass ceiling, and now there's more to come. So just great to be able to talk to you, and wish you congratulations. I think I got on. I saw Lee posted up that when he had won. I said, "Tell her, give her congratulations for me on his Facebook page." So whether he did or didn't, I don't know. You know.
No, Lee stays on top of it. I appreciate you following us, and you know, I'm lucky to have a guy like Lee on my side, and he handles a lot of stuff for me. So it's been fun, and he's been with me the last 3 or 4 years now. So it's been great.
Well, as long as I can find a way to get a hold of you, then we'll have you on and probably preview the season next February before you head into Pomona. And we'll go from there and be with you every step of the way for championship number 2. Because now you got the first one. You got to get a second one.
Right. Well, I can promise you that that's our goal, and we're going to work very hard to achieve it. And you know, like I said, with this group of people, the sky is the limit. So I'm really excited and optimistic about the things to come. And, you know, I'd love to be back on the show. Just give me a holler.
All right, will do. And we want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas and all that. So enjoy the family time you have. I don't know if you spend time back at the shop or doing whatever promotional events you got to do, but at least you have a You should have a week off to enjoy this now, and at least through Christmas, anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to Houston with my family for Thanksgiving, and I'm going deer hunting with my race team in Oklahoma the following Thanksgiving. So that'll be kind of a fun week for us all to relax and enjoy the time together. And then, of course, after that's PRI, and before we know it, it's Christmas and New Year's, and then we'll be testing again. So it'll be a quick off season.
Deer hunting, what do you use, a rifle?
It's rifle season right now. Yeah, they just finished bow season, and it's rifle season now. So we're going to head up there, me, my sister, and all of my teammates, so it should be a fun time.
What caliber you shoot?
We've got everything. There's a big arsenal of weapons up there, and it should be fun. I'm excited about it, and it's going to be kind of cool up there, so the weather will be nice, and the deer will be moving, and it'll be good. My team owner's there right now, and he was sending pictures from his deer stand, and he's like, man, they're moving, so it'll be good next week.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, deer hunting with the team. And
yeah, I'll post pictures on Facebook, so you'll have to check it out.
All right. Oh. And so might as well give a shout-out to your Facebook page. That's Erica Enders Racing.
Yep.
And
yep.
Give your sister a plug for her physical fitness stuff. We always do that.
Thanks for doing that. She's awesome. She's really involved in the nutritionist side of it now and helping us with our diets in the off-season. She said it's 80% what you put in your mouth and 20% what you do in the gym. So we're definitely going to get after it this season, and I'm thankful to have her. But she's Courtney Enders Fitness, and our racing page, of course, is Erica Enders Racing. And come follow us. We post pictures and press releases and every bit of news we get, she stays on top of it. So it's awesome to follow.
Do you are you on Twitter or?
I am. I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @Erica_Enders, and then Instagram is EEStevens430, and Stevens is with a V. So yeah, we're on every form of social media, so you can probably search us and find us.
Now, do you tweet out yourself, or do your people handle it?
I do all of my Facebook and Instagram stuff. My sister helps with Facebook, but when she posts her initials. And Lee helps me run my Twitter, but he also posts, like, that if he posts or if I post. So they've jumped on to assist me in it, like, with posting race results, of course, when I'm too busy at the track to do so. And so I try to stay as involved as possible. I really enjoy reading what the fans have to say. You know, more so the positive things than the negative, but it's been a lot of fun, and social media has allowed us to have, like, that relationship with our fans where they get to know us and we get to know them. So I've become familiar with a lot of the fans that I've met through Facebook, you know, at the racetrack where they come to certain national events, and it's been really cool to get to know the people.
And they all come up and say, I follow you on Facebook, and such and such. And
yeah.
It's like, when you have over so many thousand people following you, it's hard to keep track of.
Yeah, but when people post, like certain people post a lot, and that name becomes familiar, so when they say it at the racetrack, then you can put a face with a name, and it's pretty cool.
Well, that sounds like a whole lot of fun, and you probably wind up more next year, so hopefully your marketing team gets you a nice big boatload of cash to run all the events. And maybe
that would be wonderful.
What's the annual cost to completely do up a pro stock team?
Mm-hmm. Like, I know between $1.5 million and $2 million.
If I win a lottery, big chunk of change, I'm going to give you the money to put Garage Talk Live on your car, and you could have the black background. If Richie if Richie wants more to change it a different color, maybe I'll slip him another million.
There you go. Well, that's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, and we do it. We operate on half of the budget that some of those teams out there operate on. So it's pretty cool what we've been able to accomplish with the smaller budget. So it's definitely expensive, but we do it for less than the big guys.
And that says a lot. And to go out and win a championship like that just shows the quality of the equipment that the team builds. And I know Elite powers a few other vehicles, I guess, to draw revenue in. And your driving ability has a lot to do with that, because sometimes the driver makes all the difference. And you've proven that you're worthy of that championship. And God bless you for winning it. And from here on out.
Well, thank you so much.
So it was great to have you on. We'll talk to you prior to Pomona next year to kick off the season. And we'll be in touch and do all the good stuff and enjoy the holidays.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
There you have Erica Enders Stevens, first woman Pro Stock Series champ, joining us here on Garage Talk Live, following her career for the last 3 years, watching her go from a struggling team just falling short of winning, and then coming into Elite Motorsports and then winning her first Wally's. Of course, she did that before, and then to build on her career now to take home the big championship trophy. And thing almost looked like her lifting the Stanley Cup. It was so darn big. And now she has won the call around as well as a medal and to get the ring. So it's always great having her on. Pretty humble when you ask me, so it's just great having Erica come on the show and chat with us. If you want to give us a call, you can still reach us here. Give us the number 646-649-1899. If you had anything you wanted to say, and right now I'd like to go over to we have some audio from Kevin Harvick after winning his championship out at the teleconference last week. I'm going to play the whole thing. It's half an hour long, but here's Kevin Harvick and some of the things he had to say after winning his first ever championship.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's NASCAR teleconference with 2014 Sprint Cup Series champion Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Budweiser Chevrolet for Stewart House Racing. Kevin clinched his first Sprint Cup Series title on Sunday at Homestead Miami Speedway after scoring back-to-back wins to remain in championship contention. Kevin, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a great couple weeks, so just really proud of everybody at Stewart House Racing, and hopefully we can enjoy this over the next few weeks.
And Kevin, as you mentioned, it's been a fast and furious few days. You made the rounds in New York City yesterday, visiting Live with Kelly and Michael and The Late Show with David Letterman, just to name a few. And today you're up at ESPN for a full day. Has it all sunk in yet? And do you remember much about the race, or is it still a blur?
The race is definitely still a blur. I think as you look back at everything that happened, it was so competitive all day with positions changing, and definitely going to have to go back and look at the race and see how things shook out. So excited about watching that, and I think as I've told several people over the past couple of days, it's like you go from this huge competitive mode, and all of a sudden you get right out of the car, you do an interview, they hand you the trophy, and then you're off to do interviews and photos, and it's been hard to sit down and just really kind of take a deep breath and take it all in. So to going home tonight and seeing my wife and son and being able to just kind of talk about it a little bit, and as we go to the banquet, I think it'll really start to sink in when I can be around my team guys who I've been around all year and see their excitement and be able to talk about everything that we've done this year.
Thanks, Kevin. We'll now go to the media for questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Questions will be taken in the order they were received.
There you have Kevin Harvick talking about his little run after the race where he won the championship. This was last Tuesday's press conference. Of course, the whirlwind press tour that you get is amazing, going from, like you said, Regis and, Kelly and Michael to Letterman and anybody else that they usually stick you on the top daytime shows and one of the nighttime shows. Letterman always seems to have the sprint car champion, the Sprint Cup champion on, as well as all the other championships, the IndyCar champion, the Indy 500 winner, the Daytona 500 winner. David Letterman is part owner of Ray Hall Letterman Racing, so he has a thing for racing as well. And Kevin said when he gets out to the banquet and all said and done, it'll get a chance to sink in. Of course, Erica Enders, who won her first championship, so it still hasn't really sunk in yet. So imagine running a championship team on the budget. They say they run $2 million to run a pro stock team, and they do it on half of that. So, and to win a championship, it has a lot to say of how good the equipment they can provide for a little bit of money and her driving ability as well. I'm going to go on Facebook, and I was just wondering if anybody wants to know what happened this past week. We keep in touch with all the news. I'll be posting up. If any articles come out, I'll be popping them up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/GarageTalkLive. Or follow us on Twitter. It's twitter.com at Garage Talk Live or slash Garage Talk Live is the one-page links to the other. So whatever I put on one, you'll find on the other. Or you can follow me on Twitter. I don't do too much there except announce show guests. So being it's the off-season, if we didn't have the pleasure of having Miss Stevens on, I was going to replay the show. I'll probably do it next week. Or Denny Darnell, who passed away this weekend, when he called in, and we'll rerun that one next week. So as the off season plays along, just stay tuned. And I'm thinking about changing things around, maybe moving the show to Tuesday nights. I'd like to get some of these cup drivers on that you can't get on Mondays because they're flying home or resting up, because usually they get the Mondays off. And that's been some of the toughest things to do, is get the cup drivers on. So be happy for your feedback. If you want to give me a call at 646-649-1899, let me know. And if not, I will I'll put it on the Facebook page, and you can comment there. So anyway, we're going to cut it short today. It's Thanksgiving. To wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and I'm Vince Bonfigli. I'd like to say good night and good racing, but the season's over. We can find you racers out and about in some other part of the world. We'll talk about them. If not, if you want to send me info, send it to our Garage Talk Live page. We'll find some young drivers that you think might need some airtime, want to come on, like we did last season. We'll still do the same. And so I just want to say that just stay tuned. Who knows who we'll have on this coming off season. I'm going to struggle my hardest to get somebody on, but I do want to do the tribute to Denny for next week. So anybody that's known Denny Darnell and has had some interactions with him, we could always care to share, so just join us for that one. All right, I'm Vince Bonfigli. Like I said, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Good night and good racing.